Thanks for listening to the podcast from Jonathan Combs and the preaching team at Eastgate Community Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Check us out on the web at eastgate.church for more. And now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. That was an unusual event, everyone. We all noticed it. It's okay. It happens. Is he doing okay? Whoever knows? Does anyone know? Okay. We've been a church for a few years now, and that's a first. So you just never know what'll happen at church. Hopefully that's not a normal occurrence. So, oh well. But let's continue just be praying for that young man. I wasn't feeling well, I guess, or something during that worship. So we're going to continue now with our service, and let's try to just get our minds focused again, minds focused kind of afresh. And we're starting a new series this morning called More Blessed. And it's kind of a weird title for any of you who have been a part of our church for a while and are somewhat familiar with what's going on and kind of the Christian world around. There's often these thoughts of, you know, should we talk about blessings? Should we talk about giving? Should we talk about these kinds of things? And quite frankly, the conversation we're going to have over the next 4 weeks is not necessarily like the perfect church growth model. Like if I'm trying to really just explode the room, this might not be the most feel-good of things, although the title will make you believe that. It's much larger than that, because in order to be more blessed, it means we follow Jesus and imitate Christ in a very real way. And for most of us in the room, that takes a huge shift, a huge shift. Now, that's not to say that it doesn't indeed mean exactly what Christ meant when he said it. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to dig into pieces of what Jesus meant when he said in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." That's what Jesus said. That's in the Word of God. It said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, there are some of you in the room that kind of already get that, like, my love language is giving. Like, you already get it. I love to give gifts. Some of us, like me, I don't like to give nor receive gifts. I don't like it on either side. Because if I receive it, it makes me feel like I should have been giving. And if I give, I'm not sure if it was any good. It's not me, okay? Just so you know, this isn't my love language. But some of you in the room are just gift givers. I want you to hear me first of all. Don't check out. Don't check out if you're the gift giver, because that is very small in comparison to what we're going to talk about. Because this is about a much larger life of generosity. Today we're talking about this idea of the blessing of living generously in all aspects. Some of you like to give gifts. This is bigger. It's about your time. It's about your ability. Yeah, it's about material things, but it's so much bigger. So much bigger. And the word that we're going to kind of wrestle with today, and we won't have to wrestle with it again because you're going to remember, but the word underneath the hood here in Acts chapter 20 is this word makarios. I don't often do this to you, but here's a Greek word underneath it. And the only reason I'm giving it to you is because it does have significance. Makarios. You can say it. It's fine. Makarios. In the beginning of that word is the word mak, which means macro, which means enlarged or long. It means it's significant here. It's saying over-blessed, over-happy. It's long-lasting. And the word underneath it kind of has this sense of contentment, of blessing, of happiness. We might use the Christian word or it's a common word, but it's a word we kind of deal with a lot, and that's the word joy. We often pick on happiness and say it's based on a happening, and that's kind of true. Happiness can come and go. This is not that. This is long-lasting contentment. So Jesus says it is more blessed. It is a long-lasting contentment to be generous. Now, what is he not saying? He's not saying it is bad to receive. Don't read this and go, well, Jesus says we shouldn't receive things. He says it's more blessed to give than to receive. He does not say, however, you shouldn't receive. In fact, isn't it just really rude to not receive something from someone? That's just rude. Jesus isn't saying that. The opposite of giving is miser, or miserable is kind of the word that you get from miser. It's about taking, it's about, picture Ebenezer Scrooge. We're just coming out of Christmas. That's what Jesus has in contrast to his word give. Not receive, but rather miser. Givers are more blessed. They're more happy. How do we know this is true? Well, that's exactly what we're going to deal with today. Why is this true? Why is it true that it is more blessed to give than to receive? How many of you right now, we're just starting a new year, some of you have already jacked up 2020. Okay, you can go ahead and just, I'm only 12 days in and I've already messed it up. How many of you are there? I'm there, maybe my expectations were far too high. I had big plans. And then I forgot how much I like ice cream, Snickers bars. And it just hasn't gone well, 12 days in. Is your life, are you experiencing a life that is more blessed in the way that Jesus is describing? And do you realize how much more contentment is in store for you when you learn to give in the way he says we give? I'm not there yet. I'm so excited about these 4 weeks because I'm unpacking it with you. I think God has so much to show me just in studying this scripture so that I can understand it, so that for my little part, I might be able to give some of it to you. But I pray, I'm hopeful that you're going to see, just as Jesus is saying here, that there is contentment, there is overjoy in the midst of giving. What we're going to see here in the book of Acts is, here's the Apostle Paul writing, Luke's writing, but Luke is writing about the story of the Apostle Paul here, reminding the elders. He's gathered the elders of the church of Ephesus to himself. He's kind of just passing by the city of Ephesus. He's passing by on his way to Jerusalem, and some dark days are ahead of him. There are some trying times coming his way. And it seems, as you read this text, if you read the larger scripture of Acts 20, it seems like the elders know. They have a sense that Paul is about to face trial and some tough times. And so they come here really in a sense of encouragement and praying for him, but also with a sense of weeping. And that's the scenario that we're in. And here's what Paul reminds them of, is that this phrase from Christ is more blessed to give. We're going to do something unusual today. I'm just starting 2020, so I'm going to mix it up. I'm tired of y'all. Some of you who come every week, you think I'm going to give you a 3-point sermon every week. I'm tired of it. You're not getting it. You're getting 6 points today. I hope you had enough breakfast. There was a lot out there. You might want to go back. It's going to take a minute. I got 6 reasons today. I got 6 reasons why it's more blessed to live generously. Are y'all ready? Y'all ready? All right, let's go. Acts chapter 20, starting here at verse 32. It says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Amen? So why? Why is what Jesus said true? Well, number one rolls off the tongue for me personally, because Jesus said so. Because Jesus said so. Look at the rocket science we're doing at church today. For some of you, that's not enough. And that's why it's my starting point today, because it ought to be enough. For me, it ought to be enough. And I'm ashamed to say there are times when maybe it's not enough, when I question the words of Christ here. He says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself, he is accenting that so that we remember Jesus himself said it. It's a quotation. Remember. The sense of remember here in verse 35 signifies that Paul has said this again and again. He spent, we think, somewhere around 3 years with the church at Ephesus, which is a pretty long time for Paul. Now, many pastors spend many more years than that, but Paul had a different road ahead. He was a church planter, moving from place to place, starting new things, and he couldn't spend long. What he would do is appoint someone trustworthy to lead the congregation, and he would go forward. And it was amazing. That's why we're having church today, is because of men like Paul and Peter and these early apostles who made very serious the aspiration of planting churches and the lost and those lives of those people in that day. And they were so serious about it that here we are now. But Paul spent an unusual amount of time in Ephesus. I think mainly because it was a city of great significance in its day. It was one of the larger cities of its day. And people came in and out of it. It was a transport, a commerce kind of city. There was much, much work to be done. And he spent much time there. And so when he says to them, he says, remember, I've been saying this all along. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, what's interesting about this is you can go through the Gospels and guess what you will not find? This specific quotation. Guys like me have to wrestle with that because I go, okay, where does it say this? Is it in the book of Matthew? Is it in the book of Luke, Mark? Is it in John? Where is it? Well, it's not specifically in any of those places. There are ways that Jesus said many things that are similar, but not this exact quotation. So where does it come from? Well, it must have come from his mouth to his disciples, and it wasn't recorded. One time John says in the book of John, he says, if I was to record everything that Jesus did and said, it would require the pages of every book in the world, basically, is what he says. I wouldn't have enough ink to write it all down. And do you understand that Jesus was on the earth for 33 plus years? He did a lot of things. They're not all there. Most of it that we need is, well, all of it that we need is there. God recorded what was necessary. So what do we have here? We have another one of the quotes of Jesus, which had been passed down from the apostles, now to Paul himself. And what is he doing? He's going from church to church, reminding him of it. Why? Because apparently living generously is a big deal to the Lord. More blessed. You know what I say to my kids sometimes that I thought I would never, ever say? Because I said so. I remember my parents telling me that. I would do this strangest thing. Y'all are not like me. I would go up to my room because I didn't want my parents to see me upset because that would cost me more. It wasn't worth it. So I would go up and look at myself in the mirror and just, slandering now because I said so. You got to be kidding me. Give me a real reason. Now I recognize that's not a bad reason. You know why it's not a bad reason? Because, and I don't always think this way, but underneath me training my kids to be obedient is me training them to be obedient to the Father. And if I can understand that Jesus said so is good enough for me, if I'm trying to the best of my abilities to be a holy parent, to be a parent who acts according to the will of God, then because I said so is good enough. I'm ashamed that sometimes God has said many things in his word and I question it. And I go, is that for me? Because, you know, it would be a lot easier to do this or that. It would be a lot easier to just function this way. But Jesus has said it. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So here's the question of point one. The question of reason number one is, have you decided to fully trust God's word? You want to know what the biggest step you can make in 2020 is? It's not to lose 20 pounds, which would be great. It's not to start working out because you haven't been. It's not to start, you know, doing better with your budget. These are all good things. It's not to, you know, finally get right with your spouse or your kids. Those are all fantastic. You know what the most wonderful thing you could do this year is? To fully trust the Word of God, because guess what that'll do? It'll work on all that other stuff. It'll work in all of that, and you need power beyond your own personal motivation. Because I don't know about you, I can be focused, I can be motivated, but I'm not enough. 2020, let's let this be the year that we decide to fully trust His Word. And making that decision is good. Now I've got to get in it. And when I see something that I step back and go, ow, I don't know about that one. I have to decide. Can I say, Jesus said it, so I believe it. Jesus said it, so I believe it. Here's the second reason. If reason one wasn't good enough, and it ought to be, and maybe you'll get there. I'm still working on it. I'm getting there. Jesus said it. It's good enough. Reason number two is because of God's grace. Why is it more blessed to live generously? Because of God's grace. He says in verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Grace is this God idea of unmerited favor, a free gift to us that we did not earn or deserve. Grace. Paul is referring to the gospel here of salvation by faith. I can't think of a better way to understand obedience to the word of God than to fully understand the grace of God. Because if I don't fully understand His love for me, His grace for me, I can't possibly understand following Him. I can't possibly understand what Jesus said when He said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That makes no sense to me until first I understand He has unmerited favor for me and loves me. I want you to see the bigger picture. Even the person in the room that knows very well the Lord, understands His scripture, let me remind you this morning of the goodness of His grace. That we don't serve a God who is just sort of good. We don't worship a God that is just kind of understanding. We worship a omnipotent, omniscient, perfect God. And there are times we question His goodness, but again and again He proves Himself true. And what we are is the complete opposite of that. If you've come today and you're a little bit confused about who you are, I have the most wonderful news. You and I are a wreck. We are. And if you've come in here with a great deal of pride, this is for you. But also if you've come in here with a great deal of shame and guilt, this is also for you. God has something to say on either ditch to say, what are you so prideful in, unless it's to boast in the cross of Christ? Or what are you so ashamed of? Look at yourself. God loved you so much that He gave the cross of Christ. We must find ourselves in the middle saying, you know, I know who I am apart from God, but I also know who I am in Christ. He has done a miraculous deed in my life, one that I could not do, couldn't understand, couldn't even think up. The gospel, this grace, it's here to build us up. This grace causes us to have freedom in Christ. If you want to know what it means to follow God's word and understand that I can give, that it is indeed more blessed to give, I have to first say, you know what? God has given so much. The exact same word that is here that says it is more blessed to give is the exact same word that the Gospels use in John 3:16 to describe the Lord gave His only Son. Didomi, it's the same word. Give like He gave. You want to know what it is to be more blessed? Give and imitate Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We didn't earn it. It was an unmerited free gift. And wow, how much we love God for it. More blessed to give than receive. I was watching this debate that happened. It happened some time ago, but I just caught it for the first time between a couple of pastors, big name guys, and one of them was David Platt. Some of you have heard of Pastor David Platt, but they were trying to argue with why should we be compassionate? Why is it important that we be generous in the way we live? And the best thing I heard from that was he turned to the other guy and he said, "We give because of the overflow of Christ in us. We give vigorously because God has given so much to us, and our giving shows His character in us." We aren't generous with others because we want to somehow pull a veil over their eyes so that we can give them the gospel. We're generous to others because we love Christ. Because Christ in us is a giving Christ. Because God in us is a giving, generous God. I give because it's in my nature, because Christ is in me. I proclaim the gospel because I've been commanded to do so. These two things, they do come in tandem at times, but I'm not going to give you a glass of water so that you'll receive it so I can give you the good news of Jesus. I give you a glass of water because I love you. I give because God is generous. Do you understand this? Are you experiencing this blessing? If it's not enough yet, I've got more reasons. Reason number three, because of our inheritance with Christ. Because of our inheritance with Christ. In verse 32, it says, "And to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Inheritance to the sanctified, counted righteous by faith in Jesus. He is reminding us again of what we read, if you were with us in the book of Romans. This idea that we are co-heirs with Christ. Our inheritance is sure in Him. Do you know what makes us really stingy, I think? Is to think we won't have enough. Isn't that underneath our stinginess is this fear that we may not have enough? I'm stingy with my time because if I give you my time, I won't have enough to finally get my batteries recharged. If I give you my time, will I have enough? If I give you my abilities, how do I know you just won't take the credit? If I give you my skills, how do I know that you're going to do what's right with them? If I give you my tithe, if I give you because it looks like you're in need, how do I know you'll use it the right way? Oh, you say you need help with your utility bill. How do I know you're going to put it there? We question that. And we question that. And there is a side of that that's important. Sometimes we can give to the point where it's unhelpful. There's a book, a very interesting book out there called When Giving Hurts. I'd recommend you read it. But let me just say this. I don't think that's the problem of about 99% of the church. I give too much. Do you really lay at home and on your bed at night and go, man, I'm just giving way too much? Now you might think, man, I'm just pouring out weight. I'm using too much of my time and energy for these people that don't even care. You might say stuff like that. But realistically, can you say, I'm giving way too much? That's most people. No one has that problem. And so when we come to this, I think this is such truth. And Paul offering this, remember the inheritance that you have in Christ. When you feel stingy, when you feel this sense of, am I going to have enough, God? It's foolish for us to think, I'm not going to have enough to give. When you've commanded me to give, to be generous, when you've commanded and you say it's more blessed to give than to receive, I don't have to worry about my supply. Philippians 4 says, God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That should be like a praise God, amen, my supply is not my own. Because any of you in the room who are like me know that you can do some crazy stuff with your supply and you can have, oh, I'm having a good month, man, I've had a lot of sales, things are going fantastic. And then the next month just, my business is doing so great right now. I've got so much time, I've got so much energy. I've had a 5-hour energy, 16 5-hour energies. Your inheritance. The crash factor happens to us all. I'm so thankful that our supply is in Christ. If I could tap this idea that my inheritance, my supply is from the Lord Jesus in every single aspect of my life, then finally, I can say yes to people and say, here, have all of me because Christ has commanded it. And He said it is more blessed. And I can fully understand it. Because I'm not afraid anymore. Romans chapter 8 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness within our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. This is the sense, and those of you who have been with us for some time have seen this illustration. Some of you have attended our church in Wilson. I don't know if my dad, he's the pastor of our Wilson campus, I don't know if he came up with this. I'll give him credit though. You can tell him, those of you who will see him sometime, I've given you credit, Pastor Gary, for this idea of this flow. And some of you have seen it before. It's the sense that in order for us to fully understand what it means to give, we have to understand what we've received. And if you can picture, I'm a river, and any healthy river flows. Here's food for thought, those of you who are ever going hiking. Don't drink from a still river. If you don't know this yet, there you go. That's free. And if you want to keep your insides inside and not outside. Okay, so flowing river. Picture a healthy flowing river. On the inlet is what is pouring into you. Here is your relationship with God, where He is pouring in, which means in order for me to understand what it means to be a good outlet, first I've got to come here and say, okay, God is my supply. He is my everything. I don't have to trust myself. It doesn't mean I shouldn't work. It doesn't mean I shouldn't have great effort. The Bible speaks to that in another way. What it does mean, however, is that my hopes, my desires, my trust is in Him and not myself. I count on my inlet, which comes from the Lord, which comes from God. So He's pouring in. Okay, I get it. But I can make this other decision to close my hand on the other side, the outlet, which should be to others. My family, the Bible. You know what the Bible speaks mostly to when it comes to living generously? It speaks mostly to living generously with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Your biggest goal is certainly the Great Commission, which is to go and make disciples. But when it comes to generosity, He speaks most often to taking care of your brothers and sisters in Christ, and how foolish it is of us that oftentimes we make this humongous budget that says, hey, we need to get out and do outreach and give out baby bottles and those are great. And yet our brothers and sisters are in need. He speaks most often to that kind of generosity. We got to open up our hands. If we're the body of Christ, we have to open that side up. This is the idea of flow. So if you can understand my inheritance is in the Lord, then this step gets a little easier. You start to realize the fullness in Christ. Here's reason number four. Reason four, and the one that you are most angry about today, I think. We'll see. Because it helps break the hold of greed in us. You may have heard it said that Jesus spoke more about money than He did anything else. That's true. He spoke more about money than He did heaven and hell. Do you think my objective today is to tell you, hey, you better tithe more? You know, I care so little about that. I care so little. I really do. Do you know, I guarantee you I would do this job because the Lord has called me, regardless of if any of you tithe. Do you know how I know that's true? Because 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there were 12 people in the congregation. And that ain't a lot of people. That happened many Sundays. And why did we keep doing church? Because I believe the Lord called us to do church. So why should you give? Why does it bother you so much when we talk about, and I'm not just talking about money, I'm talking about all of you. So in case you're sitting here wanting to get mad about money, you can get way madder if you'd like. Because I'm talking about way more than that. Because you know what God wants? All of it. He doesn't just want your money. He wants your time. He wants your abilities. He wants your whole sphere. The things that you are thinking are all yours, and He gave them all to you, and He could, with a snap of His finger, take it all away. This is the God you serve, and He wants it all. He wants it all. Not for the sake of me or this church, but for your sake. For your sake. Why does it bother us so much when we talk about generosity? There's this nasty word called greed. This nasty word. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad, because it hits me too. When I read what Paul said, look what he said in verse 33. It says, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. I have to check myself and go, is that true of me? Do you understand what this word covet is? The covet comes from a word we've spoken of many times. It's this idea of to over-desire, to lust for something. He said, I didn't over-desire your stuff, your material goods. I didn't covet those things. What an amazing thing for Paul to say in an atmosphere in the Roman government, in the Roman culture where material goods and power was everything. Does that sound familiar to you at all? I hate to say it, but in the scheme of what's going on in the United States, I am a little bitty speck. Just, I have no power. I have no privilege, no material. Because that's how we judge things. And that's not how God judges things. It breaks the hold of greed on us. Look what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12. Beware, Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. This is a hidden blessing, I think, that generosity is a prescription for the sinful heart. Why is it more blessed? Because giving breaks down one of the most common and most dangerous areas in our life. There's a couple of things that when I, a pastor, or when a church member, or when the church, when they begin to get in, when your fellow Christian begins to get a little closer to you and starts to ask you about your checkbook, starts to ask you about your calendar, whoa. Ain't no God up in here. Don't be playing around in my stuff. Some of you, it's not so much the checkbook, it's the calendar. I like my time. Don't mess with my time. If I'm offending you now, then praise God. I want so much for you to like me, but I want so much for you to understand God's word and understand that it's all His. And just based on His grace alone, you should understand how easy it is to write Him a blank check. Because none of this stuff is yours, not even your very time, your very breath, your very effort is His to sustain. So how foolish is it for us to think we can't write a blank check to that God who loves us so much that He gave us His very Son as an offering, as a sacrifice for the thing we can never pay for? Do you understand how so the rest of the world would say, are you going to write a blank check to this God? That's insane. But when you rightly understand it, it's insane to not do it. It's insane to not offer God this blank check. After all that He's done and all that He is and all that He's going to continue to do in your life, it's crazy to not do it. Especially when He said it's more blessed. If it wasn't enough that I'm going to be obedient, now He's saying there's blessing in it. Our church is just a few weeks, we're going to study some material that it might seem secular on its face. Once you start to unpack it, you'll see that there's a spiritual aspect as we dig in. It's this study called Financial Peace. Some of you might have been through it. I don't know. Some of you might listen to Dave Ramsey's radio station or whatever. We're going to be teaching through this course for the second time in just a few weeks. And for some of you, you look at this idea of generosity, and the problem that you're having with it is a sense of lack, is a sense of indebtedness. You've poured out your generosity to a credit card. You've poured out your generosity in student loans and car debt. And so you can't even fathom the idea of generosity. And I would encourage you to think about coming and studying this with us, because as we dig into it, you'll see that His big dream and the course's big hope is just as they've quoted. What I love about it, here's the quote. It says, "The habit of giving is the exclamation mark when it comes to our money. Ultimately, you want to win with money so you can become outrageously giving and generous." That's the truth. Well, let's get free together. So that was a shameless plug in the middle of this, but I think this is my struggle, is oftentimes I pour out my generosity in places God has not called me to. The blessed life is less about do's and don'ts. It's about breaking this greed in our life. Here's the reason number five, and I'll move quickly through these last two. Because it is fulfilling to serve others. Paul writes in verses 34 and 35, he says, "You yourselves know that my hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak." He says, I ministered first to my own needs. What does that mean, Paul is saying? He's saying, I came to you planning a church, and guess what I didn't ask for? I didn't ask for anything. Paul had this side business of tent making, and it must have been lucrative enough that he could take care of himself as well as those around him. Imagine a church planter coming to town and pouring out himself and helping the weak. That's what I've tried to model myself after. That I would be this type of person that says, I don't need anything from you. What can I pour out for you? Ministered, fulfilling, serving others. Is this what you're about? Only you and you alone can answer this. Are you serving your partners in the faith? Sure, you can do that here. There are many ways to do that in this place. But this is only one day a week. This even bothers me that on Monday I wake up and go, okay, how am I ministering now? Yes, some of you might give me a call. You might stop by the house. Good, that's ministering, that's counseling, that's whatever. But what if that doesn't happen? How am I ministering? This is 40 minutes that I get to minister you, and I love it. But it's 40 minutes a week. What am I doing with the rest? What are you doing with the rest? Are you ministering to the weak? There's a saying that we have. We don't speak of too much around here because it scares your socks off. Some of you, our church, most of you are already serving in places, but I grew up hearing this saying that we should serve in two places. Serve in two places. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, I'm not even. Serve in two places. One according to what we call your shape. This is your strengths. One according to your strength, and one according to need. One according to where it's weak. I got great news this morning. There's places to serve in this church. Great news. I gave a report to begin this year about who's serving in what ministries. Do you know how many people we actually have serving on the worship team? You know? Seven. Some of them have to come from Wilson to help us even reach that seven. If you're a secret singer, can we stop being so secret about it? Now, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm only okay. I'm vanilla. I'm all right. Not vanilla ice. That's incredible. I'm more like vanilla the flavor. Got secret gifting? Serve out your shape. Some of you are coming to church and you're wondering why you don't feel connected. You're wondering why it's because you're just coming to church. And do you understand that's not what church is about? It's about fellowship. It's important, but it's about giving generously of yourself. And then there's this nasty other one, giving out of need, which stretches us. It pulls us. For some of you, that's happening over here in the hallway of doom. And praise God, there are people that's their strength. Praise God for them. Some of you have brought 30 kids in here with you. Praise God that those people serve out of their strength. You didn't have to out yourself. We already knew who you were. Praise God, there's people that serve there in their strength, but guess what? They're not enough. They're not enough. Because we are doing one thing really well at this church. The first great commandment, be fruitful and multiply. We're doing a good job at that commandment. Serve out of need. I promise you this. This year, I have a plan to at some point serve back there and someone else preach. Just so that I can show you that this is what we're about. Y'all might be disappointed. I'm not that great. Look, we can get somebody else up here so that I can be back there teaching your kids. Maybe once or twice this year, maybe we can do that. Because I want to show you that we serve out of strength and out of need. Because this does something to break the hold of greed in us. Are you about that? It does something to show that we're serving, fulfilling, and serving others. Here's the last and final reason. Because it positions us for God's blessing. This one scares some of you in the room. Some of you in the room look at this and go, okay, well, how far do we go with this? You know, if I give more, God's going to keep giving and giving. Well, I think, yeah. I don't know exactly what that looks like. Some of you are hopeful I'll get up here and say, if you give all of your money, God will give you twofold back. Your bank account is going to double. There are churches where you can hear that. If you want that, you can find that. I promise you. You're not going to find it here. Here's what I do promise. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than receive. So if I obey him, he will bless me. Does that mean financially? Who knows? I think the only reason he might fill our cup back up when it comes to money is so that we can pour it back out again. And we can keep playing this really ridiculous game with God Oh, okay. Hey, fill it up again, God. All right, I'm going to dump it out on everybody. If you want to play that game with God, I think he's game to play. I think that's what God's about. Hey, how much can you hold? Now, how much can you dump? How much can you hold? I think that's what he's about. And the problem is, the reason we aren't experiencing this is because we're not dumping it out. Because we're afraid it might not come back again. If I lose this. These little idols in my life. Luke chapter 6 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. What does he mean by that? You pour out this much, you'll receive that much. You pour out a whole lot more, you'll have more poured into you. That's all I can understand by this. Time, effort, energy. Just give. One passage says give. Some translations say hilariously. Give until it just seems silly. Some of you in the room, there's certain things you can't give because you don't have. So give what you do. You know what we all have? Same amount of? 24/7. I don't have more of it than you. And I'm certainly not better at using it than you. I'm a great time waster. I am one of the best. I promise you. I will go out in my backyard and just stand out and look at a field. And it makes me happy. Yesterday, y'all, I started a fire in my backyard. And just let the smoke just blow on me. Just so I could smell like a man. I wanted to smell rugged and nasty. My hair, I'm always so concerned about my looks. Let me just get in this smoke and just be a mess. That's time wasted. Maybe well spent. I don't know. I need that at times. I'm great at wasting it. So are you. We all have it. What are we doing with it? Just a good reminder. Pop up this second image if you don't mind. Not the first one. I'm not going to use it. That one right there. Y'all know what that is? Anyone? Salt. What sea has an incredible amount of salt in it? The Dead Sea. Remember this image. You know what the Dead Sea gets wrong? This side. Why is it the Dead Sea? Because it has a bajillion inlets and no outlets. It just lets in. Come on, come on, come on. And it never lets out and it becomes bleh. You can go in it and float in it. That's cool. But there's no life. And that's a lot of us. God is pouring and ready to pour more. But you got to give. You got to give. Is this making some sense, church? Are you generous with your time, with your effort, with your treasure? Are you generous? There are surely many more reasons. Here's six. I think the Bible could be filled with many, many more reasons that living generously is more blessed. I think the greatest reasons were shared right away. Christ said so. And his grace pushes us towards generosity. 2 Corinthians 8 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. What does generosity look like? It looks like Jesus. What does it look like to imitate Christ? To pour out like Jesus. And then you'll find blessing. It's incredible. Y'all understand this? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do ask today that you would just continue to show us what this means. That as we wrestle with this word that's been given to us today, that we can come to some understanding of it. This is what you do again and again, God. You take what we think is true based on what we've experienced and what we've been taught, and you flip it upside down. And here you flip the script on generosity and tell us it's more blessed to give. God, let me say first, I'm thankful that you'd put that on display before you ever taught it. That you're the kind of God, the kind of leader the kind of teacher to us that first shows it and then instructs it. This word you use here, more blessed to give, is the same word you are thinking of and were about when you gave your son Jesus. Why did you give him? You say it's because you loved us. I'm so thankful, God, that you first showed us the sacrifice, showed us what it means to live generously, and then you told us to follow after you. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Where are you going? Well, you've shown. And you're instructing us now to follow those steps. So we do ask, Lord, help us to fully understand what that means for us. This idea that we could be generous, God, help us to understand why it's more blessed because of your grace. I'm prayerful today that perhaps there's somebody in the room today that does know you, Lord, that has confessed Jesus as Savior and believes that, but they're still wrestling with just how big your grace is in their life. Is it just a part? Is it just something I do one day a week, 2 days a week? Is it something that's just kind of in the back of my mind? Or is it literally what drives my every thought and action? God, that's what you're about. Your grace, your mercy, your love should be driving us, inspiring us, causing us to live out your teaching and obedience, not because of obedience alone, but because of a right understanding of your love for us. We love others because you first loved us. If we can get that, help us, God. Encourage us, strengthen us to fully understand what you've done for us so that we can pour it out towards others. I recognize that perhaps someone came in today, and this sounds very strange. Perhaps it flies in the face of culture. It flies in the face of a lot of what they've seen, a lot of what they've experienced, a lot even maybe of what they've been taught in life, that it's more blessed to give, to sacrifice. I pray today, God, that you're opening up their eyes to see that we give because you gave. We're generous because you were first generous. Your Bible, your word says we love because you first loved us. I pray that that's been put on display today. That with just my words, God, you're pricking hearts and you're going in and you're stirring us to remember your mercy and your grace and your love. And perhaps today someone's coming for the first time, they're understanding just how much you love them, how much you've sacrificed for them, how much you've generously given to them through the cross and through the resurrection and through a life anew. I pray today that they would respond to that. That they today would go ahead and say, all right, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. If this is who you are to me, then I'm yours. The blank check here it is. In your word in Romans chapter 10, God, you say, if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God, you raised him from the dead, we will be saved. We believe that as a church. That is a key component. And so we ask now, if you've come in today and God is stirring you, that you would pray right along with me this simple prayer of confession. Jesus, I believe you are Lord of my life. I'm putting you in charge. I'm doing that because I believe in what the scriptures teach about who you are and what you've done. I believe John 3:16, which says, God gave you to me because of his love. And that you lived a life I could not live, and you died on a cross to set me free. Free from myself. Free from my own struggles, my own brokenness, my own sin, that you conquered that on that cross. That was for me. And that you rose from the grave, that God raised you from the grave. I believe that today. And I believe the word of God says, now I am saved. So now I ask, God, that you would do in me a mighty work. Cause me to imitate Jesus, as your word has said. Cause me to imitate him in a life of generosity, which he teaches is more blessed. Help us all there. Every person in the room to rightly understand how much Christ has given us so that we can rightly understand how to follow after him. and give, give, give. We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.